and remind us freshly that prayer is a way to sensitize our lives to the needs of others, a strength for the shouldering of responsibilities, and the assurance of presence with each other in Thee. And that the power of prayer is not, Lord, give something to me, but rather, Lord, give me to something. On this occasion, when we are thinking about those who will be served and are served through the meaning of this dedication, the children, the youth, the young, that shall learn, see, and hear, we know that we are in work that means future. And so help us now to take up residence in the present tense, that the divine inquisitiveness that seeks knowledge, that health and wholeness might be part of every life, would help us not so much as to dedicate cornerstones as to stand on stepping stones, that we may move toward the tomorrows, knowing that we are working in Thee, that truly a kingdom of beauty and truth and goodness may be our ambience. And so today we thank Thee for those who have worked, labored, studied, and given. And today we freshly dedicate ourselves to the meaning of wholeness in Thy truth and Thy strength. Amen.
Thank you very much, Dean McComb. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this dedication day in honor of the Gebbie Foundation and all those who have brought to fruition this hopeful clinic. We have gathered here this day to celebrate the creation of a concept, the realization of dreams long unfulfilled, the fruits of your labors. We are here to review programs for teachers and for children, for their families, and for everyone who seek to help others. We concern ourselves with the development of teachers and clinicians as humanists, yet as scientists and artists. We are devoted to the belief that learning is its own reward. Capability, intelligence, capacity is educable. All people can change, can learn. Even the most disabled, even you and I. We have tried to conceptualize what is special about special education. What is inductive and what is deductive? What is diagnostic and what is normative teaching? What is the nature of supervision and help? What do teachers need, want, get? What do I need? We have designed a clinic for all people with special needs, especially those most in stress, especially the unwanted, the unable, the difficult, the desperate, the clinically homeless. We have based it on our belief that all human beings are valuable. And when that is realized, understanding unfolds. We have joined to create an environment where students and faculty and parents and clients can deal with their assets and their aspirations, their prejudices and their problems. We have deemed this time and this place as an environment for university students who are trained as clinical scientists, but first as humanists. We will engage monoliths and those who seek to separate brother from brother, sister from sister, with those people or institutions who will deny a child a chance to grow and to learn. We will create a setting where victims can be educated and where those who victimize can learn that the world will be a different place for people. All this will be accomplished because we will change. Because before each of us seeks to convince his brother to remake this land, he will devote his own energies to that purpose. So we celebrate this singular day together, and we celebrate you, everyone here, and so many others who couldn't be with us today, for creating this occasion. It gives me a great deal of pleasure. It's an honor to introduce to you the Chancellor of Syracuse University, Dr. Melvin Eggers.
Dr. Blatt, and ladies and gentlemen, we have a program for the dedication of a building, but it is appropriate, I think, on this occasion to dedicate the program to be housed by the building to the continued service of young people, and particularly young people who have disabilities. The university views this program as one of its major programs, one of the programs in which it takes great pride. I congratulate the faculty of the program in special education for their achievements, for their service to people, for the quality of the program they developed, and for them, I dedicate the university to its continued support of that program. I'm particularly pleased that this program is one of the several which have developed important and continuing relationships with the Upstate Medical Center, so that our total environment, our total educational program in this area may continue to serve those who have special need. A building, just as a program, is the product of a number of contributions. Now, I'd like at this time to recognize several who've had a special role in the development of this facility. Several are seated here in the front row from the architecture firm of King & King. We have Mr. Russell King and Mr. Wendell Hoon from Syracuse University. Mr. John Turian, who's the construction coordinator, and Mr. Harvey Kaiser, who is the university's principal officer for bringing buildings to the point where they will serve their proper use in the program. These three people, four people, are here at the front. Mr. Turian over here, Mr. Kaiser, Mr. Hoon, and Mr. King. I'd like also to note that for having a building of this sort, there is not only a university officer who is primarily responsible for the physical completion of the building, but there is an officer who has a major contact in making the financial arrangement that leads to the building. And for this, I would like to pay a special note of thanks to our own Dr. Best, who is right here, who is in charge of the parents program of the university and who has serves it in a number of other ways. There are others who will receive our special consideration, but they have another part in the program. I'd like then to continue my own expression of appreciation for the kind of program available at Syracuse by introducing at this time the dean of the college, in which this program is located. It's a pleasure to introduce Dean David Crathwell, the Dean of the School of Education.
Thank you, Dr. Eggers. It's interesting that society in wartime concentrates in one way and in peacetime concentrates in others. And one of the fruits of peace and the period of affluence that followed World War II was the development of special education, partly here at Syracuse University, but also throughout the country. As I was trying to determine something about how this program came into being, I found that it was about 26 years ago, right after World War II, that this program developed with Dr. Cruikshank and Dr. Hoople as a summer school program initially. There have been a large number of federal programs that support various parts of the special education unit. There have been a variety of federal funds for specific kinds of individuals. But none of these funds, unfortunately, have permitted the building of facilities that would house and permit us to do capably the kinds of things that they were hoping that we would do with our operational funds. And so it's a special pleasure then to have the Gebbie Foundation contribute in such a way that we can now have the physical facilities for many of the things that we are doing, and I should say will continue to do, in facilities that are somewhat less than adequate. Although the clinic adds a great deal to our space, we will continue to have almost as much space on campus outside of the clinic as we will have in the special education building and in the clinic itself. That, of course, doesn't begin to count the variety of field situations with which the special education program is related. And many of you who are here today are people that we owe a great deal to in terms of helping us with those field situations. Those are, I think, mutually profitable. We hope and feel that our faculty contribute to you in terms of the use of those situations. And certainly, we learn a great deal by working in them. They are very important to us. One of the things that has happened in the last 2 years, I think, has been the development of an increasing relation between Upstate Medical School, between the city schools of Syracuse, and the variety of various organizations that relate to special and handicapped children. I think this has been a particular emphasis of Dr. Blatt's, who feels that every professor should be in the field, should be working with cases, should be teaching at least a part of his time, so that even our research people are oriented this way. The program has grown, as is obvious, since if it started 26 years ago. It's grown rather remarkably. Back in 1953, there were only four major faculty members and a number of graduate assistants. In 65 and 66, that's about 7 years ago, there were 15. We were making a count just before this dedication, and we can find 26 individuals with faculty rank or its equivalent in one of the sponsored projects who are now part of the special education program. Clearly this has been a growth in quantity. Clearly it indicates a considerable commitment to the importance of special education on the part of Syracuse University. And as Dr. Eggers said, it is a commitment that we are concerned that we will keep in the future. We have been, I think, and will continue to be, one of the top schools. There are probably three schools in the country that would be considered the top schools in special education: Illinois, Peabody, and Syracuse, particularly insofar as graduate education is concerned. And we intend to keep it that way. There's been, in addition to training, a good bit of research are going on here, and the research has varied from time to time. As I look back over the past history, it's clear that various kinds of emphases have developed. And it's interesting also, as you look at these, to note the extent to which, in some respects, we have come full circle. Thus, some of the original research, which emphasized the necessity for special programs for the handicapped, was done here. And as some of you are aware, there are now special programs in a large number of the schools, but one of the emphases, particularly of the Center for Human Policy, is the emphasis of getting these children ready for going back into the regular classroom and making provisions so that instead of being segregated, instead of being off by themselves and not having the normal models available to them, the children are in with the other classroom children and are enabled in some way or another to maintain some self-respect in that classroom. And so in a sense you have the full circle as more and more is understood about the learning characteristics of these children as we learn more and more about how to place them in the classroom and to do a job with them. And Dr. Black mentioned last night that they had in their SkyTop operation some 14 children last year who they worked with who were excluded because there were problems of such magnitude that they could not be kept in the schools. They were excluded from the schools. They worked with these children, and 11 of these children are now in the schools this year. The students are following them, working with them, and so far their adjustment appears to be quite adequate. So there is then a full circle and apparently a successful circle in the way in which we are working with these children. There's been work here developing a better understanding of the learning characteristics of mentally retarded children, on the kind and extent of adjustment problems of the orthopedically handicapped. There was a great deal of research, and important research, on the minimal brain damage at one time. The vocational adjustment problems, the mentally retarded, and the organization of a counselor training program, vocational rehabilitation, have all been parts of these. Until recently, we had an important evaluation center in the evaluation of the multiply handicapped. Interestingly enough, also part of this program is a simulation in administration, which is being used in programs throughout the country, teaching administrators of special education. And it's become a very valuable and a useful tool for these administrators, not the kind of thing one would typically think of as being a part of this program. And there's been a great emphasis also on alternative educational programs for hard-to-reach children and the development of alternative institutional settings, including halfway houses and a variety of other kinds of unusual settings. In short, this is a distinguished program. We're pleased that it is, and we pledge to keep it that way. We pledge to keep it a leader in special education. We're very grateful to the Gebbe Foundation for their help in giving us a facility that will enable us to do that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Dean Krafel. As the dean said, we refer to this building as the Gebbe Clinic, and the reason for the name is that the primary gift for the construction of the building came from the Gebbe Foundation. We are fortunate to have with us this morning the president of the Gebbe Foundation, and I'm pleased to present him to you this morning, Mr. John D. Hamilton.
Chancellor Eggers, Dr. Blatt, ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed a great pleasure for me to be here this morning to represent the directors of the Gebbe Foundation, Jamestown, New York, and to observe what has been constructed here in the last few years. This all started back, I believe, in 1967 when a committee of people from Syracuse University, Dr. Best, Dean Craswell, Dr. Winchell, And I think at another time, Dr. Blatt, who met with the directors of the Gebbie Foundation and made a proposal to them as to what they would like to have done, and it seemed to strike a sympathetic chord, and as a result of that, a grant was made, which extended over a period of 5 years. As a matter of fact, the last payment of that seemed to just about coincide with the construction of the building this last year. You may be interested to know what the Gebbie Foundation is and where it was first conceived. Two ladies, a Miss Marion Gebbie, who passed away in 1949, and her sister, Mrs. Geraldine Gebbie Ballinger, in their wills set up a foundation, or provided for a foundation, which they hoped would help to alleviate human suffering and ills. And one of the ladies, Mrs. Ballinger, expressed also a great interest in helping children who had hearing deficiencies. This was set up in memory of their father and mother, Mr. and Mrs. Frank Gebbie, who Mr. Gebbie operated the Mohawk Dairies in and around Rochester and in central New York, and which back in the early 30s, I believe, was sold to Carnation Company, which, as you all know, is a nationally known concern. And when Mrs. Ballinger died in 63, steps were then taken to set up the foundation. And Miss Gebbie, as I mentioned earlier, had died in 1949 from and she had suffered intensely from a disease known as Paget's disease, which is a bone disease. And one of the first things which the directors felt should be done was to set up research for the study of this particular disease, and that has been done in Massachusetts General Hospital. The program, which was started here, also seemed to be in line with what these ladies might have wished, and I'm sure that they would be highly pleased to know of the chief